Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 202 of the It's Obvious podcast. My name is Garrett Drake. I'm joined across the internet by Jacob Alka. Jacob, how are you?
I'm great, man. It's bright and early. Have my cup of coffee in hand. And I'm feeling rested. How about you, man?
Likewise, with the exception of the rested part. But it is great to be here as always. Believe it or not, Preston Poobah. Preston Pugh is in my apartment as we speak. Preston, give us a what's up from over there.
What's up?
I don't know if you could hear that, but he's here, but he has to leave soon. He's got to go take care of some stuff today. But he and his doggy Zelda are hanging, and I'm so happy to have them. And Zelda's adorable. Where'd Zelda go? She's still here. She escaped. Oh, there she is. She's a sweet one. But yeah, it's a beautiful morning here in Atlanta, Georgia. We're ready to talk some video games. We're nearing E3 2019, which is just thrilling, and plenty of stuff to talk about sort of regarding E3, but interesting news stories this week, Jacob. I'm kind of thrilled to jump into them, but we have plenty to talk about, and I feel like, did we miss a week last week?
No.
Okay, we were here. I remember we kind of recorded the same kind of setup last time. It was on a Tuesday morning.
Yeah.
I think at the tail end of this episode, we should review the conclusion to Game of Thrones like we did with the previous episode.
That's a great idea. Fitting.
So we will talk about that post community question. So if you're a normal listener and you have not seen the final episode of Game of Thrones or are interested in checking out the spoiler talk, it'll be at the tail end of the podcast. Looking forward to it. But in the meantime, Jacob, tell me, how was your week? Are you still there?
Sorry, I muted my mic.
Oh, okay.
It was a good week. Just worked all week like I typically do. I had a little bit of a scare over the weekend. So my parents were in the backyard trying to cut a limb off a tree. That was we have like a single tree that was planted by my parents in the backyard, and it's kind of gotten really big to the point where like the branches are about to poke the house, so they needed to cut them down. And one thing led to another, and my mom ended up having a branch fall on her head and bust her head open. So she had to go to the hospital and get some stitches. Then I was originally going to stream that day, but I ended up putting it off because of, obviously I needed to make sure my mom was okay and everything. But other than that, it's been a normal week.
What about Jacob, you? I'm glad your mother lived to chop another day.
For sure.
Yeah, that's, it can be spooky if there's blood involved. Go to the emergency room. So
I had to clean it off the stairs.
Yeah. You had us all spooked in our group text. I was super concerned for a while.
Yeah, it was kind of cryptic because I didn't know like, how serious it was.
The way you described it, yeah. I was not sure if she had lost her head or had like a gnarly scar of some sort. But
yeah, she'll have a scar for sure.
She made it. She's going to live. And all is right in the world.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's exciting. What else did you do this week?
Honestly, not too much. I caught up with an old friend, but that's about it. I mean, streamed, played some games.
Cool.
What about you?
I think probably the highlight of my week, from what I remember, is I saw John Wick last night with my father in Preston. Sort of like a belated birthday celebration, because I turned 26 on Saturday.
You did.
And I'm officially paying my own insurance, which means I have been thrust into the adult world reluctantly, but yeah. I'm prepared to do so as one needs to when they turn that age. But
is it offered through work or did you just have to get your own?
It is not offered through work. I was fortunate enough to have that opportunity back in the day, but I let it go. Yeah. So we'll see if I ever have an opportunity like that again, hopefully in time. But 26 years old now, and we went to see John Wick Chapter 3 Parabellum, and I got to say, Jacob, it delivered in every single way.
That's good to hear.
Yep. Absolutely adored it. The action was just exceptional. The choreography blew my mind. I mean, the first two films are already excellent, but this is definitely like the capstone of these first three films of just being probably, I would argue, the very best action films of our generation. I know there are many more out there that are phenomenal, but John Wick trilogy is so good, man. I loved it. I mean, it was thoroughly entertaining. It was funny, action-packed, wacky, great characters. I will say the coolest sequence in the movie to me, probably. I mean, there are two that stick out. I don't want to spoil them, but there's one that involves Halle Berry and her dogs that you've probably seen in the trailers. Mind-blowing how they choreographed the scene. It was so cool.
Yeah.
And that's what's amazing. People that have, if you've seen the movie, you know what I'm talking about. If you've listen to in-depth reviews. What's amazing about the action is that the movie is predominantly action-packed, and each action scene builds upon the last with some sort of gimmick that just kind of makes it stand out. There's an amazing knife fight. There's just an incredible gunfight. There's the fight with the dogs. There's a motorcycle sequence. A part where he's on a horse. Big battle at the end. I mean, through and through, I was not even remotely disappointed. I mean, it blew my mind in every way. And Keanu Reeves is the man. He was great as always. Even with minimal dialogue, he was exceptional. So I cannot wait to see what they do with the fourth one.
Did he Nathan Drake everybody?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's been doing that for a while now, and that's what he excels at. So it delivered, man. I highly recommend Chapter 3 of John Wick if you're a fan of the franchise or just want to see a kick-ass action film.
I saw the second one on a plane, and I wasn't, like, crazy about it. I thought it was just okay compared to the first, but I'll have to check out the third one to share some
thoughts. I've seen the first one in many years, so I'm interested to go back and see that. What's interesting is that the first three films all tie into one another. Like, the second one picks up immediately after the first one, and the third one picks up immediately after the second one, which is pretty cool.
That's really cool.
So I like that a lot, but I am so thrilled to see what they do with the fourth one. And it's already been slated for 2021, I think June of 2021, maybe. Ooh. So it's coming, it's confirmed, and I cannot wait to see it because they're awesome. But of course, we watched Game of Thrones. We'll talk about that later. I'm trying to think of anything else that stood out this week. Oh, I know, this is exciting for me. I invested in a Sony a7 III DSLR mirrorless camera. And it is one of the more badass DSLR video cameras on the market, with just phenomenal features. I'm so excited to put it to use. So if you like gear, like camera gear, just what's the word I'm looking for? Hardware in general, it's pretty exciting. So I'll be using it in Nashville coming up at CMA Fest. I'll be working there, which would be cool.
You're going to CMA Fest?
I am. I'll be working for a specific artist there, which is exciting. But I've never been to CMA Fest, so I was wondering if anyone out there listening to the podcast is a fan of country music or has been to CMA Fest. I'd love to hear thoughts, what I should expect, because I've been, you know, like to E3, I've been to PAX, I've been to a couple metal festivals, but I've never been to a country music festival. So,
when is that?
Should be fun. What'd you say?
When is CMA Fest?
I believe it's the first week of June. Okay. So yeah, I got that, and then I'll be heading to Panama City after that for another opportunity I'd mentioned last week. So gotcha. A lot of fun video stuff coming up to put this camera to use, and I am pretty thrilled to do so.
So we're probably not going to have a podcast that week.
Probably. I mean, you and Preston could do it that week.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah,
if I can get
we'll
a hold
see if his schedule clears up by then. But we will, like I said, with the exception of potentially at least me being there those 2 weeks. We'll be back on track at the tail end of this month after I conclude my school quarter. It has been by far the most demanding school quarter of my entire life. The projects have been overly demanding, all of which have been a lot of fun, but they have eaten up every ounce of my free time. So it has obviously bled into our podcast schedule and has thrown us off track in regard to getting them out on time. So again, just want to reiterate, you can count on the podcast coming back full swing at the end of this month with better notes, better preparation, and on time, of course. And you can count on the YouTube version as well. But I am excited for that time, Jacob. But in the meantime, what else is going on in your life that you feel like sharing?
Let me ponder for a moment.
Even if specifically it's about video games. I may have touched a game. I watched Preston play Rage for about 5 minutes yesterday.
Nice.
I don't think I played anything myself.
You didn't play any more Rage yourself?
I did not, unfortunately.
Gotcha. I played a little more Apex. Nothing really exciting to talk about on that front. Finished up Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu over the weekend. That was really fun. The game doesn't do like anything different. I was like expecting to fight maybe red or blue at the end from the original game. Like red and blue versions, but just you never fight them. I think you fight blue maybe at one point during the game, but I don't like maybe you fight them in the post game. I don't know, because there's this whole post game built around like these master trainers, and there's literally a master trainer for every single Pokemon, and you can only fight them with that Pokemon, and they're level 75. So I tried to fight the Pikachu one. I got my ass kicked because I'm only like level 50, 55 maybe. So like it wasn't even close. So I was gonna do that, but ended up just cutting it short because I couldn't even beat the Pikachu one. The only thing I have left to do that I want to do is go catch Mewtwo in the game. And then I'll be pretty much done with that. And besides that, I've been playing a little bit of Octopath. Just picked up my fourth traveler. So just trying to go around the map, get all the travelers, and then begin all their journeys, their separate journeys. One thing that always threw me off about that game is how the eight travelers, they never really interact with each other. So it always felt kind of weird that they were traveling at a party. That's like my only complaint about the game. I hope in like the sequel that they kind of go to greater lengths to like have the characters have a relationship with each other. Because I feel like that's a pretty important core feature of a RPG, is that your party is an actual party and they like each other, you know, or at least share some emotions in some way.
Yeah.
Like they don't even
speak. Did I talk about Detective Pikachu last week?
I don't think we talked about it, no.
Okay, have you seen it yet?
Nope.
Okay, I have seen it.
Nice.
I remember. I said Preston had seen it, and he said he liked it but didn't love it. I feel about the same. I liked it a lot. I didn't dislike it in any way. Of course, I didn't go in with any particular expectations. I just knew I'd see a lot of cool live action Pokemon, and I think my favorite part of the movie was Psyduck by far. But Ryan Reynolds was awesome as always. He was hilarious, and it was incredible. And I'm not even that big of a Pokemon fan, as most of you probably know, but it certainly provided me with an itch to explore a bit more Pokemon between now and maybe when the next game comes out. But
Sword and Shield this fall.
Yeah. So I may dabble a bit, but the live action Pokemon looked amazing. Cast was a lot of fun. There was definitely some corny acting, and I wasn't exactly sure what people meant until I'd seen it for myself. But I sort of liked it in a way. A couple of reviewers mentioned that they felt like the dialogue and style of direction was specifically designed to kind of cater towards the anime. And that clicked for me more, especially in the end credits where you see all the characters in sort of like their anime art style. And if you can imagine them as that version of themselves in the movie, it totally works. And I loved it. So if you're a Pokemon fan, I'm sure you'd be head over heels in love with the majority of what you at least see in the movie. If you haven't seen it, I definitely recommend that one too. But I enjoyed it a lot. It was a lot of fun. I can't wait to see what else Pokemon Company does, and with the live action films and whatnot. But I will say the most bizarre part of this experience, I watched this in probably the stupidest movie theater I've ever been in my life.
Tell me.
So is that a normal theater I go to all the time? It's the one at Atlantic Station. And the tickets for the time I was going to, the only convenient time was like a 10:30 showing. And it was in some theater called Screen X, and I never heard of Screen X before. So what this is that it's a normal projected screen, but on either side of the walls of the theater, there's also additional projection. What? So it almost creates like this box effect. And what's frustrating about this is that when this it didn't happen for the entirety of the movie, thank the Lord. But in key scenes, typically action scenes, there'd be the main frame of the film on the main screen, and then on either side it was like depth of field effects. They kind of gave it like a fake gigantic widescreen effect, but what's weird. Annoying is that they're like three stops darker than like the main screen, so I don't know why they're there to begin with. I guess it's supposed to be enveloping like three-dimensionally without the glasses.
Yeah.
But it's just distracting and it looked awful. I was like, yeah. what is the purpose of this?
That sounds
so gimmicky.
So
bad. So, I mean, I kind of got used to it after a while, but the first few action scenes, it was so distracting. I couldn't even imagine why anyone would want to have that theater experience. So,
yeah,
if you have a morbid curiosity for just really bizarre theater experiences, you can check out Screen X at various Regal cinemas, I guess. But I was not impressed in the slightest. I will not be attending the Screen X theater again.
I can't imagine watching a movie like that.
Yeah, it was very dumb. But aside from that, Pokemon was awesome. Can't wait for more.
That's good to hear, dude. I'm excited to go
see it. I saw a couple movies, but I did not get to play games. I'm debating whether or not I'm going to jump into Days Gone or Rage first when I have time. And I feel like I'm leaning toward Days Gone. Based on what Preston showed me, I will undoubtedly love to play Rage, but I'm kind of in the mood to have like a more tedious, strategically based open world survival horror-esque experience. I think that sounds kind of cool.
Yeah.
And I feel like upgrading a motorcycle sounds kind of fun. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, something like that isn't quite as in your face and action packed. I've been going nonstop these past 10 weeks. I just want to chill. I know that game's pretty stress inducing, I've heard, but as far as just traversing an open world, I think it kind of sounds fun based on what I've heard. So I think I'm going to try that first.
You think you're going to actually go through the whole thing or just kind of play it for a bit?
We'll see. We'll see how busy my summer is. I know the first couple of weeks of June I'm slammed, but beyond that, I'm not entirely sure. So I may have more time than I was expecting, but I'd love to do some Let's Plays this summer with Jacob if we can. I think it'd be fun if we can squeeze him in. What's something else I was hoping for? My brain's not functioning entirely yet, obviously. I hardly slept, and it's very early, but good news is this cup of coffee is very good, so I'm happy about that.
Yeah.
I don't think I have anything else going on in my life, Jacob, that I can think of. I have one more music video to shoot with a band called Whiskey Tango, local rock and roll band in the city, which is going to be fun. Shooting the narrative portion tomorrow and then the performance side on Sunday. So that'll be that project. I have to film a skateboarding like branded content video on Thursday, which would be fun. I've been wanting to shoot skateboarders for a long time, so I'm hoping to mimic some of the classic stuff and maybe try to innovate a bit with skateboard footage.
Yeah.
But that should be kind of cool. I'm going to go to the skate park, I think, on the Beltline. And what else are we doing? I have a big business final project and final test, and I have not paid attention to a single word of those lectures, man. So I'm going to hope for the best, like I did with my English class last quarter, where I read one out of the six assigned books, and I miraculously got a 96 in the final. I was that good at guessing. So I'm hoping I can pull off the same sort of trick with my business final, because I tell you what, Jacob, I'm going to need it, because I've not learned a single thing.
Good luck.
Yeah, we'll see. The fools will be with you always. Oh, there's a cute doggy next to me, and there's a handsome man.
So I'm really eager to like check out the news today, because I have no idea what it's going to be, because I didn't look at the notes.
Okay, it's not overbearing by any means. It's pretty minimal, but the stories that we do have are fairly interesting. Yeah. But if you're ready to jump in, Jacob, I will not hesitate.
Yeah, let's do it. Hey, man, what's the news?
Dude, well, according to Steve Watts of GameSpot, Microsoft and Sony, the companies behind Xbox One and PS4, respectively, in case you're an idiot, revealed this week that they have established a strategic partnership. Stupid ads. The two companies plan on sharing technology and information going forward and build upon shared infrastructures for some of their future initiatives. Nowhere in the announcement are Xbox and PlayStation named, but its wording implies Microsoft and Sony's partnership will specifically focus on consumer entertainment platforms like gaming. Specifically, the agreement says that the two will jointly develop future cloud solutions within Microsoft Azure. It also says that Sony will use Microsoft Azure for its own game and content streaming services. Although Sony's PlayStation Now is not mentioned specifically, including a push to build better tools for content creators. The two are also committed to working together on semiconductors and artificial intelligence. So there's more to it than that, and a couple quotes in there, but just basic plot synopsis there, Jacob. How do you feel about that? Are the console wars over, or is this just another mirage in the war? Is it false hope and ending the console wars? I mean, obviously it's not specifically or explicitly stated as to what it exactly it's for, but one would like to hope that the days of Xbox and PlayStation gamers being at each other's throats may be coming to an end.
Yeah.
How do you feel about this?
I don't necessarily think it's an end to the console wars, obviously. It's just a little partnership. I think maybe it's working towards that in a way. So this is just them like teaming up under, like they're just working together for cloud gaming, basically, right? That's what this is saying.
That's what it's looking like. I mean, cloud services specifically. So I'm sure it goes beyond gaming, but obviously as big as the gaming market is, it'd be foolish not to have gaming be a focus of it.
Right. I mean, I think it's smart. We haven't heard a whole lot about what Sony is up to in terms of, you know, cloud gaming at this moment in time. My only guess is maybe they're trying to team up to compete with Google, maybe. I mean, that's my guess initially, without knowing a lot of context.
Think about it. It's got to be like the Avengers versus Thanos, with Google being Thanos in this case.
Yeah. Why is Google the bad guy?
Because Google's all powerful, man. They have a lot under their... that's the word I'm looking for. Under their guys.
Belt.
Under their company. Yeah, they have YouTube. Themselves. Do they have Facebook too?
Did you ask if they have Facebook?
Yeah.
No. Facebook's okay. Separate.
Facebook, I know nothing about social media, so don't ask. But yeah, maybe that could be that's a potential reason as to why they would do this. I don't know if they would team up specifically just to survive against the onslaught of Google's cloud services, but I think it makes sense. I mean, the gaming community is not necessary. I mean, I guess it's sort of been fractured for a while, not in a bad way, but joining forces, if it works out for both parties, I'm sure they have their reasons. So I'm interested to see how it plays out in the long run.
I mean, it's good to see Sony like cooperating with Microsoft because, you know, like in the past, they haven't really wanted to really support crossplay that much or cross progression. And it's usually been Sony that's been the problem in terms of like, you know, because like, for example, Fortnite, it used to be where you can only play with everyone except Sony, like any platform could play with anyone. But I think they loosened up on that. So it's just good to see Sony like willing to, you know, listen, willing to try new things. And hopefully that works out better for them in the end.
I agree, Jacob. I couldn't have said it better myself. Well, moving on. Jason Schreier shared one of his infamous articles this week regarding Cyberpunk 2077. The title specifically says, as Cyberpunk 2077 develop intensify, CD Projekt Red pledges to be, quote, more humane to its workers. So I have not had a chance to actually read this all the way through. I'll probably read it in my business class this morning and not pay attention as usual. But according to the headline alone, it seems that obviously they've been called out on multiple occasions for their quote unquote, this is not me saying this, less than humane circumstances at their studio, which I will say, this is really interesting. I can't remember his name. He's a Polish TV host that's now sort of like a multimedia type guy in the gaming industry. And I met him at Rare when we were covering Sea of Thieves. And he talked to me about when he was previously employed at CD Projekt Red. And he proved to me and everything. He had like his old business cards and everything. And he's an actual developer there. And he worked on, I think it was Witcher 2. Is what it was, and a couple other things back in the day. He never worked on Witcher 3, but he told me that even back then it was brutal. He says he can't even imagine what it's like now, but he said in his experience, he told me a couple little small stories that I thought were fascinating about like the Polish gaming scene and kind of the stuff that's reiterated in NoClip's documentary that they've, not really the documentary, but the interviews they've done with CD Projekt Red. It was cool to hear it from his perspective, specifically like a former employee of CD Projekt Red. And he said, although he loved working there and it was one of the coolest experiences of his life, he said the main reason he left was because of the work schedule. So I can't really attest to whether or not he was being entirely honest with me. He seemed like an honest dude, and I can typically tell when I talk to people like that, but it was a really interesting conversation. And then to see this pop up again, just this story recycling is, interesting to look into. And, obviously I know we're all highly anticipating Cyberpunk, and I hope, I assume it's going to deliver in every way. I mean, Witcher was by far one of the best open world medieval RPGs I've ever experienced in my life. So I expect nothing less from this version of the game, of a game they're working on. But we'll see more at E3. I'm interested to see how it differs from what we saw. Was it last year at E3, or was it just a random demo they release shortly thereafter? I think it was after E3. We saw the trailer at E3, and we saw gameplay later on.
Yeah, it was like later in the year.
Yeah, I wonder what kind of push they'll have at E3 this year.
I'm sure they'll have a presence at Microsoft's E3.
I'm wondering if it'll be another like on-stage type demo or if it'll just be another trailer. You'd think after they've shown gameplay, they'd go for another public demo at this point.
Yeah, it'd probably be a demo or it'd be like some big announcement of like a feature in the game that's like a big deal.
I think the best thing for them would be have an onstage demo and then have said demo playable at the show. So then media and content creators can comment on what it feels like to play.
Yeah.
And I think that's especially important for Fallen Order. Now, from what I've seen with E3 coming up, I don't think Fallen Order is actually going to be playable, but they are going to have multiple in-depth like developer led demos. Mm-hmm. So obviously, we're going to see it in action, but I think a game like that, it is so critical to have people know what it feels like. I mean, of course, when it gets closer to release, media and content creators will get their hands on it and be able to report on that. But at E3, it's more to me these days than just seeing the game in action. Like I want someone to talk about what it feels like to play it.
Yeah.
So if we're lucky, people get to bless you. People will get to play some Cyberpunk at E3, but obviously, we're going to see more. So I bring this up because I'm interested if anyone's actually read through this article in its entirety. If you're willing to share what kind of your thoughts on the situation, I'd love to hear from you in the comments below because I have not had a chance to read it yet. And by the time I get to it, you may have already commented.
It's actually like really weird being excited for EA's E3 this year. Like, I'm super excited to learn more about Jedi Fallen Order and also learn more about Apex.
I was going to say, I'm sure Apex will be mentioned. Yeah, for sure. You know, I haven't heard anything about Firestorm from Battlefield. I know people are playing it, but no one talks about it.
I don't think a lot of people are playing it.
Right. I mean, I hear here and there, I see some like very random Twitch highlights pop up, but that's maybe once every couple months.
So. Yeah, like I know one of the main complaints with Firestorm was that like the looting is just so bad. Like whenever you see stuff on the ground, like it's so hard to pick stuff up and like read what it is, that it's just a huge pain. But I think like the coolest thing about that mode is like the actual Firestorm itself, because it looks so cool. Like when it's, you know, creeping up.
Yeah, it's certainly horrifying to have a ring of fire closing in on you.
Yeah, I definitely the ring like the of
fire. I may play that sometime just out of curiosity. Isn't it? Is it free to play if you own?
No. Oh, yeah. Yeah. If you own the game.
Oh, you have to own Battlefield. Okay. I think I do own Battlefield. Yeah, I might try that out.
I expect them both to be free to play at some point.
Yeah. Well, mark my words, Jacob, as soon as I have time, I will be going back to my favorite game from last year, Hunt Showdown.
I look forward to hearing about Hunt. It's been too long.
Even if I'm playing alone, Boggle, if you're listening, I hope you join me, my friend, because it's been too long and I miss our mornings playing some Hunt. So I don't think I'll ever, I don't have any intention of streaming, but there was something special about streaming Hunt in those mornings for a while. I really enjoyed that. And to those of you that tune into those streams, I salute you as I did in the past. It means the world. But your streams went well this past week, didn't they, Jacob?
Yeah, yeah. Good turnout. Good views.
Nice. Good time. Glad to hear it. Still slowly growing?
Yes.
Okay. It's only a matter of time when one of these other streamers invites you onto a stream or wants to collaborate or something.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. If you keep reaching out to them and making waves, brah, in the stream scene, it just may happen.
I appreciate that, Garrett.
Yeah. So I'm here to encourage. I'm here to see you succeed. And I look forward to the inevitability of that. Inevitable.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hi, Zelda.
What's our next story? Minecraft AR. You heard about this? I peed a little when I read this story because I'm a diehard, of course. But this comes from Colin Stevens of IGN. He says, Mojang and Microsoft have announced Minecraft Earth, an augmented reality mobile game that combines elements of Minecraft and games like Pokemon Go. Revealed on the official Minecraft website, Minecraft Earth allows players to collect, explore, collaborate, and survive while exploring and building new Minecraft creations in the real world. Like in the original Minecraft, which is celebrating its 10th anniversary. That and the announcement of Phantom Menace being 20 years old. I really felt my age, Jacob. Granted, I'm not even close to being an old man yet, but it made me feel like I'm nearing, you know.
Bro,
I'm getting to the point where I'm allowed to say I'm getting kind of old.
Phantom Menace was 20 years old.
Yeah, that is fascinating. I saw that movie 6 times in theaters with my father. He probably wanted to kill me, but I kept begging him to take me. I fondly remember that. I think I was just obsessed with Obi-Wan, Darth Maul, and Jar Jar Binks of all characters, believe it or not.
Oh, I thought
Jar Jar Binks
too.
Was just comedic gold as a kid. So, but it says Minecraft Earth features old and new mobs, and over time, players will discover new variants they can use to populate their builds. For example, you can find Minecraft pigs just hanging out in your neighborhood park. So there's a lot more to it. That's the basic gist. If you haven't looked into it, I guess you haven't seen the trailer.
Nope.
Yeah, it's a trailer which is pretty impressive visual effects, not unlike the Pokemon Go trailers that we've seen in the past. But it looks like you can literally just build some augmented reality blocks in your neighborhood, in your local park, in your school.
Yeah.
So it's something.
It's kind of a cool concept, but I'm just don't care in the slightest about Minecraft. Never have. I'm glad people really enjoy Minecraft because it's a cool, you know, tool and, you know, creative experience for a lot of people.
Yeah. Ooh. The Terminator Dark Fate trailer is coming the 23rd. What's that? Oh, that's Thursday, it looks like. I have a very bad feeling about that movie. From the stills I've seen, it looks truly atrocious.
I have no faith in any Terminator movies now.
Me neither. I think that time is come and gone. I don't know what they could possibly do to make it interesting. I know people hate on Terminator Salvation, but I actually kind of like that movie. I don't know why people hate on it so much.
I can't speak to it. I didn't see it.
I mean, I recognize it has issues, but I love the style of the apocalypse they took, and I like some of the looks of the Terminators themselves. A lot of cool practical effects.
Yeah.
A lot of visual effects too, of course, but some cool practical stuff. And I know Christian Bale is like ridiculous in that movie, but I still found it interesting in comparison to what we've been getting from Terminator.
Uh-huh. But yeah, I mean, I remember seeing that trailer and I was just not impressed.
Yeah, me neither.
I know that's speaking super
of
negative.
speaking of not freaking impressed, dude, Jason Schreier also chimes in on Kotaku and says that Call of Duty 2020 is in upheaval as Treyarch takes over plans for Black Ops 5. How exciting is that, man?
It's crazy.
Black Ops 5. No thanks. Anyway, he says next year's Call of Duty has gone through a major upheaval as publisher Activision informed developers this week that studios Raven and Sledgehammer, which had until now led the project, will no longer be in charge. Instead, according to three people familiar with the goings-on at the companies, Treyarch will lead development on a new Black Ops for 2020. Excuse me, I got a burp. It's a significant shift for Activision's massive first-person shooter franchise, which is one of the most lucrative video game series on the planet. Every fall for the past 15 years, Activision has put out a new Call of Duty game, supported by a stable of different developers who rotated duties as required. Since 2012, Activision has followed a three-year cycle for its three lead studios, Infinity Ward, Treyarch, and Sledgehammer. The results have looked like this, and he lists all the titles. But so it says, originally, Raven was to take leadership alongside Sledgehammer to make a Call of Duty game set in the Cold War, likely involving Vietnam. As of very recently, that's changed. Now Treyarch, based in Santa Monica, is in charge of leading the Call of Duty Black Ops 5 for 2020. That sounds like a backup plan to me with a Black Ops 5. They'll probably build on what they've done with Black Ops 4 and be like, all right, here's more.
I don't know. I thought somewhere in that article it said that they were just going to stay in that time period. And like they're going to just kind of take what they built already and kind of adapt it to Black Ops.
Yeah. Yeah, I meant Black Ops 5, by the way. I apologize. But yeah, they could do that. That'd be fine. I mean, the original Black Ops was based in Vietnam, but I don't recall it, the Cold War being involved. I can't remember exactly what happened that game. I remember it being one of my favorite Call of Duty campaigns for a while.
Just in terms of like a time period, like I'm kind of on board with that, I guess. It's a little more modern than we've... I mean, it's not like modern, but it's a lot more modern than we've had in the past, you know? A lot of this futuristic stuff that we've been dealing with lately. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of weird. Like, so does this mean Activision's not going to have a Call of Duty every year? I don't think that's the case. So it just means that two main studios are going to be working on Call of Duty now, I guess. And then Sledgehammer and Raven are going to be helping out on each title now. That's kind of what I'm taking away from this. So, I mean, that's cool, I guess. Good luck to them.
I wonder what they did so wrong they had to hand off the entire game.
I know. They must have
really
been like
dropped the ball pretty hard.
Yeah, I know like both of the whatever you call them, leaders of Sledgehammer, they both left the company. And I don't know if like they left on good terms or whatever happened in that situation. But you know, I guess Sledgehammer is dropping the ball. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to really tell.
Well, does Black Ops 5 even remotely excite you, Jacob?
I guess. I mean, I've always liked the Black Ops series. I always thought it was the best of Call of Duty. But, I mean, 4 was just okay. I mean, I liked Blackout for a little bit, but I wouldn't go back to it now.
Yeah.
The multiplayer wasn't really exciting.
Well, in lighter news, Jacob, from Adam Bankhurst of IGN, PlayStation Productions is set to adapt Sony's games for film and TV.
I saw this.
Yep, it says Sony Interactive Entertainment has announced the launch of PlayStation Productions, a production studio that will take Sony's catalog of video game titles and franchises and adapt them for film and television. As reported by The Hollywood Reporter, this new enterprise will be led by Asid Quizzlebash and overseen by the chairman of Worldwide Studios at Sony Interactive Entertainment, Sean Layden, and is, quote, already in production on its first slate of projects and has set up shop on the Sony Studios lot in Culver City. It says, from The Last of Us to God of War to Metal Gear Solid to Spyro the Dragon, PlayStation has been home to many different... that's just talking about PlayStation. It says, unlike most video game adaptions that are usually a game studio licensing out its IP, Sony will be producing these projects in-house with PlayStation Productions and sister company Sony Studios with the help of with distribution. It says, instead of licensing our IPs... Okay, they just reiterate on that. What else is in here? According to what Preston read earlier, they're already working on a Twisted Metal TV show, which is kind of cool.
Nice.
It says, we've looked at what Marvel has done in taking the world of comic books and making it into the biggest thing in the film world, says Layden. It would be a lofty goal to say we're following in their footsteps, but certainly we're taking inspiration from that.
Hmm.
So that's kind of exciting, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, think about it. A lot of Sony's catalog, especially their narrative-driven experiences, are already pretty cinematic as is. You don't really need a live-action adaptation. Or, I mean, you know, this doesn't obviously just insinuate that everything's going to be live-action. I could totally see, like, a Spyro the Dragon animated film. That'd be cool. But I don't think I would need a God of War movie. I mean, I would totally go see it. Don't get me wrong. But God of War is already cinematic enough as it is and already has an incredible story. So I don't really need to see that explored on the big screen, I would say.
Do we have any more news about that Uncharted
Maybe something
movie?
Based within the world of God of War, for example. Maybe something based within the world of Uncharted, if not Uncharted itself.
Yeah. Do you think, like, that's, like, what's, do we know any more about the Uncharted movie?
No, that's probably in development hell still. I know Tom Holland was attached for a while. We'll see if that happens.
Yeah. Oh, you know, that's got to be like at the forefront maybe of all of this.
Yeah, that plus whatever they're doing with Twisted Metal. I'm trying to think of what would be cool. I've never actually played Twisted Metal. I've been aware of it for a long time. But what could be cool for a TV show? I don't know. Is cars blowing up and attacking each other. Sort of like Death Race, I guess.
It'd be cool to like see maybe not a movie, but maybe some kind of like episodic series of the PS4 Spider-Man. Because I know they do comics for him, but it'd be cool to have like a little show. Like even
based on
like
Insomniac animated. Spider-Man specifically?
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be kind of cool. I've read they have a comic line coming out that ties into the tail end of that game in the near future. What else could be cool? Even with Uncharted,
even like
though, I've wondered.
Days Gone could be a cool TV show.
It'd be not unlike Walking Dead, I guess.
Yeah, I guess it is very similar to that. But
yeah. Plus, you need a serious budget to simulate those World War Z-like
zombie
swarms.
That's what
excuse
could
me, freakers.
It.
Yeah. But I do think that's cool, though, that they're saying they are partly inspired by Marvel. And they're developing it all in-house. I think that makes total sense. It's probably in their best interest to do so instead of licensing it out.
The Sony Cinematic Universe.
Yeah, there it is. How would you acronym that? Sony Cinematic Universe.
The PlayStation Cinematic Universe.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. PlayStation Productions.
The Sue.
We're going to see Spyro cross over with Kratos. Kratos is going to ride Spyro into battle.
So. There we go.
I'm excited, man. I can't wait to see that. That's actually what I'm hoping for most, if I'm being honest.
Mm-hmm.
So speaking of...
It'd be cool
to
see like some kind of Horizon project, too.
Just oh, like absolutely. Yeah, that would be cool.
Maybe like a movie of the past or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I'd be open to that. I was going to ask you, what do you think about Robert Pattinson potentially playing Batman?
I like it a lot. I saw this image someone posted. I don't know where I saw it. I don't think it was in the Discord, but it might have been. It was a picture of Robert Pattinson, and I forgot the guy sitting next to him or standing next to him. But there was it's like a cut. Then the image below was like Batman Beyond. I was like, yes, dude, this guy needs to be Batman Beyond, Garrett. Are we ever going to get a Batman Beyond movie?
I'm going to be honest. I would watch the F out of that, but I don't really need it. Like, I'm not saying I'm hoping for that, but if that's the case, I would totally watch it. But
do you like Batman Beyond?
Yeah, I like it. Okay. It's never been my favorite. I prefer like just normal Batman, but it's cool.
Okay, dude. I just think he looks like a good Batman Beyond.
Yeah, it could be. I've been, so is Zach Bynum. He and I talked about this a little while earlier this week. We've both been Robert Pattinson fans even since Twilight. I don't know why.
Yeah, I love him.
And the Twilight movies are not very good, but Robert Pattinson is the best part of those movies by far. And I've seen his performance in Remember Me is really good. And I've seen part of Water for Elephants, but he's done a ton of indie work since Twilight. And most recently, he did a film with Willem Dafoe called The Lighthouse. And people are just raving about how good this movie is and how good his performance is in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So I can imagine that DC has potentially... And of course, I'm sure Pattinson's management has something to do with this too, but have potentially signed him on as the next Batman due to his work in these indie films that I've yet to see. But he is truly a very skilled actor, and I love his stuff. And I think he has the look of a young Bruce Wayne, definitely, if not Terry McGinnis. Or is it McInnes? Can't remember. I highly doubt it's Batman Beyond, but because, you know, they've mentioned like Matt Reeves' Batman film is...
Sure.
Rumored for him to face off against Catwoman, Penguin, and someone else, I think. But
a guy can dream.
Yeah, but I think Robert Pattinson would make an awesome Batman. I'd love to see it, and I am more than stoked about that idea. So I hope he gets it. And I think Nicholas Hoult, the other guy that they had bouncing around, who plays Beast in X-Men, is also a really good actor. But a reviewer that I watched made a good point. He seems more like a Superman than he does a Bruce Wayne and Batman. He's not very brooding. He's more chipper. And Robert Pattinson certainly has that, not only just the jawline for it, but he has that sort of like mysterious, that mysterious look. You have to have the jawline to be Batman. It's critical.
Sure. So do you think he's going to be more of like a slender Batman, or do you think he'll be like a little beefy?
They'll probably beef him up a bit. I don't think they'll go Ben Affleck beefy, but they'll beef him up for sure.
Yeah, because I don't think you want him to be too slender.
Like, no, definitely not.
Because when you think of Robert Pattinson, he's kind of a skinny guy.
Yeah, kind of a lanky man. Yeah. But yeah, I'm sure they'll undoubtedly beef him up. But I hope this is the case. I hope he gets the role because I'd love to see it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm so excited actually, about this. I remember us mentioning the idea of Robert Pattinson. I think Zach had mentioned it to me first, and I may have said it on the podcast. But we had talked about him potentially playing Batman in the past. We talked about Jake Gyllenhaal. I think that would have been a cool choice. But I am more than on board with Pattinson, man.
Yeah, so I would have never thought that he would play Batman, but I'm like happily surprised.
Right. So we will know soon enough if that is indeed our reality.
Yeah, I guess it hasn't been officially confirmed. It was just rumors.
Mm-hmm. So Jacob, I have community questions pulled up. You sent me one other story this week I've yet to look into. You want to read about it?
I don't.
Is it worth reading? Cool.
I mean, it was just like a... It's like it was all over social media yesterday. It was actually trending worldwide because it's a huge deal.
Well, before I look into that, Preston sent me an article from Games Radar. The title is, "We might get to see that Norse George R.R. Martin and From Software game at E3. So according to what Preston explained to me, George R.R. Martin for 3 years has been involved with writing a game alongside From Software that's open world medieval that we could see at E3 this year.
Interesting.
So I am...
That's why he's not finishing the books.
Yeah, I'm very enthralled by that idea. I mean, what could it possibly be?
Jon Snow.
Explains why he hasn't finished the Game of Thrones books, because he's been busy doing this, I guess.
Yeah.
Who knows? It could be Game of Thrones for all we know. That'd be kind of cool.
I don't know what it could be. Would it be something like pre-existing, or do you think it would be something brand new in that world?
I don't know. I like seeing original stuff from Software. I can't see them working on a licensed title like that.
Yeah.
But of course, I'm all into it if it's Game of Thrones, but I'm also open to the idea of just George R. R. Martin giving his writing abilities to the studio and them just crafting a really bizarre medieval open world.
Yeah.
As they tend to do.
I think he just needs to finish his story.
Yeah, press and reiterate with Norse mythology specifically.
Hmm.
So that is thrilling.
Yeah, I don't really know what to think about that.
I don't know. I hope it is indeed at E3. I'd love to see it.
Yeah, I guess I'm excited.
Yeah, I can put it up. Where is that story you sent me? I'm trying to pull it up. Okay,
eSports
Pro sues gaming organization FaZe Clan over oppressive contract.
Yeah. Okay,
I think I was reading about this. If you've read into this, Jacob, you're more to the streaming world than I am. Can you talk about it?
Let me find the article. I sent it to you.
While
you
pull that up, I've got to refill my coffee. I'll be right back.
Okay. All right, guys, pulling up the article now. So Turner Tini, which is the guy's name, otherwise known as Tfue, says FaZe Clan is violating California law and the Talent Agency Act. So I'll read like the first couple paragraphs of this. One of the world's top professional esports players is suing his gaming organization for allegedly restraining his business opportunities and taking up to 80% of his earnings, which is insane, by the way, in a complaint that argues esports players' representatives should be regulated like agents of film and TV stars. I kind of agree with that. Turner is a 21-year-old professional gamer known as Tfue. On Monday, sued FaZe Clan for allegedly limiting his liability or his ability to pursue his profession.
Try not to spill this.
Yada yada yada. So basically, he's just arguing that FaZe Clan is taking too much of his money that I guess he thinks he deserves. And I'm kind of on his side after reading a little more about the article. Hey, you back?
Yeah, I'm back.
Gotcha.
Sorry to leave you hanging.
So basically, I just read like the first couple of paragraphs. He's suing FaZe Clan. Hey,
give me the spark notes.
Limiting his ability to pursue to grow his brand, basically. And he's accusing them of taking up to 80% of his incentives.
That's fairly significant.
His earnings. But it's weird because like FaZe Clan responded to him yesterday and said that they've done no such thing.
Hmm.
So this is like a complicated thing, and like a lot of people are siding with Tfue here because you know he's the fan favorite. But I'm very interested to see like how this kind of case breaks down. Let's see here. Yeah, it's basically a complaint that argues esports players' representatives should be regulated like agents of film and TV stars. I think that makes sense because of how like important influencers are nowadays, just in terms of not only entertainment for a lot of people, but they're huge in terms of branding and marketing for game companies and all sorts of brands alike. So I'm very interested to see like who wins this, and this is most certainly going to change like how contracts are negotiated for, I guess, streamers or esports players in the future. So, you know, organizations don't have to deal with this, which going on right now. I know you don't have a whole lot to say in this this issue because you're not huge into esports, but any thoughts there?
Not really. It is a sucky situation to be in, I guess. I hope they get that resolved.
I mean,
but from an outsider's perspective, it's kind of fun to watch. I hate to say it.
What was that?
So we'll see how it plays out. It's good drama. It's good drama.
For sure.
So we'll see if it pays off for all parties.
I know it was a big topic yesterday.
Yeah. I will say, I just saw on Twitter an image of someone playing Resident Evil 1 on Switch, and I forgot about that collection coming out. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Are you gonna play it? Dabble at some point.
Oh, that was a big yawn. I'm ready.
Yeah. All right. You want to jump into community questions?
Yeah, dude.
Let's. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for writing in and week out with just an abundance of wonderful questions to fuel this latter half of the podcast, keeping the conversation nuanced and exciting. Don't know what to expect this week. I've not had a chance to proofread any of them, but we're just along for the ride. Thank you for taking us on this ride, and we cannot thank you enough for your continued support in spite of our inconsistency these past few weeks. Thank you so much for the continued love and support and understanding. With all that being said, Jacob, if you guys want to reach us and have your questions read publicly on air, you can reach us in one of three places. You can email us at itsobviousgaming@gmail.com. You can tweet at us at @obvious_gaming or submit your questions in the Ask IRG section of our Discord channel. All that being said, always include the hashtag #AskIRG alongside your question so that we know you want your question read live. First one comes from Girth Brooks 92. He says, apologies if this has already been brought up, but who has the better ass, Jacob or Captain America? Also, are either of y'all watching Barry? If you're not watching it, then I highly recommend it. It is the newly self-appointed IOG ambassador of non-Japanese, non-animated televised programming. Enjoying it a lot more than this season of Game of Thrones. Okay, first and foremost, importantly, Jacob's ass is, believe it or not, I can confirm, and I'm not just saying this to be funny, Jacob. I'm not saying it because you're my friend. Your ass is more impressive than Chris Evans in that Captain America suit. You know why I'm able to say that? Because we have your ass in a blue costume just like that on film on YouTube. And it is undoubtedly the better ass. Anyone who knows what I'm talking about in this podcast knows what I'm talking about. Your ass. And we have the whatever you call them on Discord, the image.
You can emote it on Discord.
Yeah, the emote of Jacob's ass squeezing. You can see the muscles in action. And if you guys, we need to make a GIF of that, honestly.
We should.
I'll work on that. I'll make a GIF while I'm in my business class. It's far more productive than business itself. That's the important business I need to get to.
Yes.
But if you guys have seen our Spider-Man VR stupid Let's Play for Spider-Man Homecoming from back in the day, I think it's called Spidey Saves the Day, you will see Jacob's glorious ass. And I'm actually looking at it right now on our Ask IOG section.
That was so fun to work on.
Yeah, it was. If you guys see that video, you will wholeheartedly agree with me that Jacob's ass is better than Captain America's. And that's bold. I mean, I would hold that. That'd be the top of my resume, Jacob, if I were you.
Yeah.
So consider revising your resume to have that just be the gleaming headline.
I appreciate that. I mean, I'm very self-critical, so I would obviously say Chris Evans because he is a gorgeous human being.
Gorgeous human being, but that ass, Jacob, is nothing in comparison to yours. You can own that.
I mean, maybe we could compare if I was in the same suit as him, right? So, like, maybe that would be a good
comparison.
I think
we should take a Twitter poll. Who has the better ass, Chris Evans? We're going to tag Chris Evans, too. Chris Evans or Jacob Alka. And I'll include that gif of your ass.
There certainly won't be any bias there.
Right. We're going to find out. I'm going to see if we can get Chris Evans involved. I highly doubt it because he gets bombarded on Twitter on a daily basis, but we'll see if we can reel him into the old IOG.
Yeah, I look forward to this. Let's make it happen.
Yeah, this is going to be good. You can count on it. By the end of today, it's happening.
Okay.
in regards to Barry, I'm going to jump into Barry probably, if not tonight, the following night because I'm wrapping up episode 2 of Chernobyl. And it's really awesome so far. I'm really enjoying it. It's very disturbing, too, because I didn't know the full story of Chernobyl. I, of course, knew sort of like an idea of what had happened, but I hadn't seen it really play out like this on screen before. And really, really good writing and direction and storytelling so far in Chernobyl. But I'm going to jump into Barry because everyone's raving about it, and I really, really like Bill Hader a lot. I think he's one of the most underrated actors around these days. And I cannot wait to see him in It Chapter 2, which that trailer is pretty good. Preston was laughing his ass off in the theater when we saw John Wick with the old lady at the beginning. Have you seen the It Chapter 2 trailer?
Yeah.
Yeah, he thought that was so funny. We had had margaritas at El Felix with my dad prior to seeing John Wick. And Preston doesn't drink nearly as often. And he had half a margarita and he's starting to feel pretty loopy.
Oh, my God.
And he said everything was just so funny. For like an hour after that, and he thought that trailer was like the funniest thing.
But, it was pretty funny.
Yeah. And those margaritas were damn fine too at El Felix, man. Yeah. Had those delicious tacos. Oh, they're nice, die for.
I'm jealous.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I couldn't make it.
Yeah, that's okay.
I don't even know if I could have, like, even if I was like going to go because of traffic getting down there.
Right. Yeah. It was not kind to us getting there either coming north.
Oh, where'd you go? Did you like come towards me?
Yeah, we came towards you. We came from Atlanta.
Oh, okay. I gotcha.
Yeah, we were at the Regal at Avalon.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So, anyway.
I thought you were downtown. Anyway.
Gonna check out Barry. Definitely Jacob's ass. Mark my words. Better than Chris Evans.
What is Barry about? Do you know?
I think it's about a hitman, maybe, or an assassin. I could be wrong, but I'm not sure.
I might check it out, too.
Yeah. Kyle chimes in and says, little known fact, Jacob was Steve's ass stunt double. The thing, Jacob's ass is bigger than Chris Evans. So he's got that big booty. So there's no way, unless they downsize Jacob's ass, which I think would just be totally disrespectful and non-representational of the glory of Jacob's rear end to do so. Girth Brooks is back. He says, yeah, I'm in the right section. Okay, cool. You guys clarified that. He's like, oh, yeah, please read it on the show. Hashtag ask IOG. Next one comes from the Scarlet Speedster himself, Sam Harris. He writes in and says, how goes it? Or how goes my fellow gamers? Video games are pretty, are they not? I'm having to read this at a weird angle. I'm sorry. He says, anyway, with Super Mario Maker 2 Direct dropping this past week, and I'm extremely excited. The new tools, co-op, and story mode seems like a natural progression of the series. With that being said, what other Nintendo or non-Nintendo franchises should have a game like Mario Maker? Imagine a Zelda Dungeon Maker. That would sell like hotcakes. Having a great week and remember it's not the amount of cocaine you snort, but the quality, and that is the key to achieving anything. Bonjour.
That's true.
Right.
This is a toughie.
Franchises that could use a game like Mario Maker.
I'm trying to do something non-Nintendo here.
Right. I think a Call of Duty that had a Forge mode, not unlike the Halo series, could be cool. Where you make your own Call of Duty maps that are all entirely community created. And of course, there could be like a social side of this where you can just create anything and anyone can play on them. And even if it's like the worst thing ever, you can still play on it.
Yeah.
Or there can be like the rank side where Activision, I guess, or whatever studio is developing Call of Duty at the time, would approve these maps for like either a competitive circuit or a competitive playlist could be kind of cool. I'd love to see that if Activision or, like I said, these individual Call of Duty Focus Studios gave players the tools to create their own Call of Duty maps. I'd love to see that personally.
This is really random, but I'd love to see it in a game like Celeste, where you could just like make any kind of level you wanted to. Because like Celeste is already a beefy game, but I could just imagine so many cool levels that people could make.
Yeah, I still need to finish that.
Dude, you do. It's so good. The soundtrack is so good. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I should probably listen to it. I played the majority of the game on silent, as I've mentioned.
Dude, do it.
Just doing myself a huge disservice.
It's so good.
I caught wind of it when I was working on a video for COG back in the day. I had to listen to a couple of the tracks, and they were beautiful. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to listen to some video game music on the way to school this morning. I'm going to start with Divinity Original Sin 2's theme song. It's one of the most beautiful themes I've ever heard.
I saw that game on sale and I almost bought it. That was so close.
You should have. I need to jump back into that eventually. I have so many games I'm dying to play and just so little time. It's just so depressing. Mm-hmm. I have all the willpower in the world to play these games, but I just don't have the time.
I'm sorry, friend.
So, but that's probably one off the top of my head I can think of that I'd like to see get the Mario Maker treatment as a Call of Duty. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of one other thing that could be cool. I mean, any platformer really caters to that for sure.
Sure.
That's going to be my answer for now. I can't think of anything else.
It's like a lot of games already have like creative, you know, like not to the scale of Mario Maker, but you can do what you can like go create what you want in them. Like even Fortnite, for example. Fortnite's always at the top of my mind, even though I don't play it.
Jacob, I just had a warm and fuzzy feeling wash over me in remembrance that Master Chief Collection is going to entirely wind up on PC in the future.
Yes, beginning it's with actually Reach. In June, I think.
Yeah, that is so, so exciting. Of course, we're going to see, I assume, a lot of Halo Infinite at Microsoft's E3. I'd love to see them push that. We're going to see some more Gears, of course. Gears is, I think, rumored or leaked to have been releasing in September of this year. So plenty of Gears. I imagine Halo. It's high time we saw Infinite in action. They've got to have something. Maybe if we're lucky, we'll like a beta during or after E3 or maybe later this year.
That would be awesome, dude.
But PC. I want to know what it's all about. I want to know how it differs from Halo 5 specifically. Mm-hmm. But I have the utmost faith in 343. They seem to be on the right track with focusing on community and what people love about Halo.
I mean, they've failed twice now.
I wouldn't say they failed. I mean, Halo 4 had a fairly decent campaign. Remember, I still consider it all fan fiction, but fairly engaging, semi-interesting campaign. Gameplay-wise is a little lackluster. I actually sort of enjoyed Halo 4's multiplayer a bit. I didn't love it, of course.
Yeah.
But I think Halo 5's multiplayer was pretty strong, but the campaign was just so disappointing. I'll never forget how disappointed I was in that campaign. And the ads were so cool, which was a shame. Mm-hmm. But I think they'll, I assume third time will be the charm for them. They'll take what was best about both of those, maybe even just innovate on it entirely. But of course, at the end of the day, I hope it maintains that traditional Halo feel in some sense. But the rumors surrounding Halo Infinite definitely have me intrigued, and I cannot wait to see it.
Do you ever think like Halo will be what it was, like amongst popularity with gamers?
I don't think so. Unless they, I mean, there'll of course always be like the hardcore fan base, myself included, but I can see it doing really well. I think it's in their best interest nowadays to include Battle Royale. I know they're probably reluctant to do so because a lot of people just call them out for jumping on the bandwagon, but Halo caters so much to Battle Royale with its sandbox gameplay and its vehicles and its weapons.
It really does. Like, it makes sense to me.
It'd be, especially with like the built-in armor system and everything, it just makes total sense to have a Battle Royale. So you might as well just do it. And if you excel, that's a good thing. I mean, you have to consider how many Battle Royales are out now, especially with Apex kind of being the apex of the Battle Royale scene right now.
I mean, it just lacks content.
Right.
But, I mean, I think the only way Halo like reemerges is if, I mean, obviously, if they put a Battle Royale, that's going to get a lot of press. But I don't know. Like, Halo just needs to break the mold in some way. Like, if they just keep continuing to do the same thing, you know, put a campaign, some multiplayer, like, it's always going to have that audience. But, like, these pre-existing, I mean, it's just like any other game. It needs to find a new way to, like, excite people to play video games. I mean, lately, that's been Battle Royale, but maybe it's something new in the future. I don't know. I mean, it's going to be something new.
Yeah, we'll know soon enough. I mean, Halo to me, as much as I love the original trilogy campaign or campaigns, Halo's always been about the multiplayer to me, mm-hmm. especially with close friends, and split screen predominantly, but even playing online with friends has always been like the core Halo experience to me. So all I can hope for is that it just has a killer multiplayer experience at the end of the day for me, because I'm kind of beyond whatever story they want to tell with Master Chief. I think his story, like I said, for me, it ended with Halo 3. I've enjoyed aspects of Halo 4 and 5 story, but to me, he drifted away in space for eternity at the end of Halo 3. So whatever story they tell, whatever. But as long as the gameplay is phenomenal and the multiplayer is super fun and dynamic and has multiple modes, you know, of course, like their competitive modes, social modes, community driven modes with like their map creators and stuff, potentially a battle royale. That's cool with me. So I'm excited. And that I will undoubtedly get to play it on PC, which is cool.
For sure.
But yeah. Sam Harris, thank you for your question, my friend. It definitely spawned a conversation that was way off topic, but we appreciate it nonetheless. I said I wanted to see Call of Duty with a Mario Maker treatment. What did you land on? You said Celeste?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, platformers sure. in general, I'd say.
Cool.
Well, Marvin writes in and says, if you guys could marry any gaming character, who would it be? Love the podcast and glad you guys haven't given up yet. Yeah, we will never give up, Marvin. We will literally have to be killed or stabbed in the face to quit and count on it.
Marry a gaming character. Oh, God.
Gaming character. I like to be practical about these sorts of things. It's easy to marry anyone you're attracted to, but get to marry someone wholesome and who pours into you, and you can pour back into them and build a life together and support each other and be kind to one another and forgiving and work through issues and not just bail on each other when problems arise.
You know,
I hope for a very wholesome, fulfilling relationship if I'm going to marry someone. And in this case, that would undoubtedly be
Mary Jane from Spider-Man, because she's good at stealth.
Yeah, I was going for Spider-Man myself. There's so many characters out there. That's a good option, Mary Jane. She's driven. She's talented. She's beautiful. She's intelligent. Skilled. I guess that kind of lumps into the word talented. But yeah, Mary Jane's cool.
I think I would go with... Hold on. Probably. This is so tough.
I know.
I guess I'll just say Aloy.
Why Horizon. Aloy?
Because she's very driven and she can stick up for herself. She can fend for herself. She seems like she's a very kind person as well.
She's very good at crafting.
Yes. Yes. And I assume she can maybe cook. Maybe.
She's also a clone.
Woman. I need a woman that can cook. Yeah. That's like number one, Garrett. Because I can't.
Sorry,
cook
spoilers. Whoever hasn't played Horizon, I just dropped a major spoiler. Hopefully, you didn't notice,
bro.
Don't go back if you missed it.
What is that game? 3 years old?
Yeah, at least. I think it's okay to spoil it now.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I'll go with Aloy.
Okay, I'm gonna go with Mary Jane. Okay. I was gonna name someone from Spider-Man. I think she makes the most sense.
Okay.
Carlos, what does he have highlighted here? There it is. Okay, question is a bit of an endgame spoiler.
Yeah, don't ask that.
Okay. Is it still too early to ask that?
Yes.
Okay. I can answer it like this, Carlos, for your sake. Anyone who wants to read this question, just go to the Ask IG sections from Carlos Perez. I will not spoiler name the character, but I will say it's the one from the good Marvel side. Is that what hit me harder? Not that I didn't love the other film and that character's performance, but in this case, the long run with, I mean, I know similar time frames for these characters playing their respective roles.
Yeah.
But I even read that the one I'm referring to that hit me harder has officially played his role longer than the other guy played his role, which doesn't really make a big difference because they both did an amazing job. But being on the journey we have been on for the last 11 years with this series, that death hit me harder for sure. Garth Brooks, for me it was Dumbledore. Yeah, agreed. Amen. Kinder Egg writes in and says, Howard's mom in Big Bang Theory, bruh. I have not seen enough of Big Bang Theory to relate, but I'm sure it's heartbreaking. Man, this is a very long one from Fribes.
I think it's the last one, though.
Is it?
Yeah, the rest of them is just banter.
Great question. Discussion. Okay. People seem to be into it. Let me read it. Okay, here we go. Buckle up. Fribes writes in and says, "Hello, friends. Dense question here. With all the extra talk about data privacy going on right now, are you guys okay with trading some of your personal data info for access to free discounted content? I think that if every transaction of, quote, our data must legally be opt-in going forward, a stance for which many people seem to be arguing, we will have far fewer 100% free services on the internet. I've listed three examples of how we benefit, emphasis on the quotations, below from implicitly selling our data to add to our to your discussion. So Google learns about our habits and advertises to us based on those habits. I have noticed this. But we get to use Google, quote, free of charge to learn and search the vast sea of information that is the internet. Facebook/Instagram does the exact same thing above, but they give us an online social network and unlimited personal photo repository free of charge. Mark Zuckerberg, aka Lizard Man, has commented that if data privacy is reined in, Facebook may need to offer paid tiers of their platform. Epic Games, and more specifically Tencent, scrapes our data probably no more than Steam or other game launcher software, but they also give us free games every month and take less of a cut from developers, ideally resulting in discounted better games. I'm sure that Discord, Spotify, YouTube, and other services through which this podcast is being listened is also monitoring the fact that we're all listening to IOG right now, aggregating that data and selling it in some form. How do y'all feel about this? I genuinely don't think that there is a, quote, correct stance here, but I've heard you guys have differing opinions on privacy and personal/corporate accountability before. I'd like to hear some more. It's a shame Preston isn't here. I'd like to hear Preston's thoughts primarily. I don't really have thoughts about the data acquisition side of things, because at the end of the day, like I said, it is free services, and we are more often than not freely giving away our information without thinking twice. Like, oh, go to this website, sign up here, give us your email, your address, your birthday, and like blah, 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 blah.
There is no privacy anymore, Garrett. Privacy's
yeah, we're gone. All connected for life. It's over. Yeah. We're all going to exist on the internet.
I don't think people will really even mind it, honestly. Yeah. I don't think it's
the singularity is already upon us. We just haven't realized it yet.
Yeah. The internet is not the evil place that we once thought in the early 21st century.
All right. Well, I would argue that it is very much capable of being an evil place.
Sure. But
there's also a lot of good on the internet.
Yeah. Most people are just humans are good by nature. So it's not just going to be an awful place all the time. But I mean, what he says here is all true. Obviously. I mean, Facebook, Google, like they've been doing this for years. They're taking all the information in our habits, using it to make money. That is right. That is the business. That's what they do. I like this breakdown a lot. There's a lot of good information here. I've just been noticing it on Facebook, just using it as a streaming platform over the last several months. It's crazy like what you can do to like put a piece of content in front of who you want to put it in front of. Like it's so like you can break it down so specific. It's crazy. And I'm still learning myself, but it's so in depth. Like I never knew like how much of a tool Facebook was. I don't have a whole lot of experience in terms of like using Google or like maybe marketing on Google in any way. I know a lot of people grew businesses using like Google Ads back in the day. People still do so.
Yeah. Let me also say thank you to Fribes for breaking this down. It was an excellent way of putting it all into perspective. I just recently had this encounter. I'm not encounter, experience. I was looking at sunglasses on Ray-Ban's website because I'm in desperate need of a new pair. Mm-hmm. And based on the customization I decided on, I haven't ordered them yet, but I looked into them for about an hour. And ever since then, I've seen a just relentless wave of sunglasses ads on every single social media platform, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all of them. It's just sunglasses everywhere, which is really weird. And I get how that works and why they do that. But just because I look at a pair of sunglasses or like a package of bagel bites for 5 minutes on the internet does not mean I want to obsess over it for 2 weeks until it goes away.
Yeah. I don't think this is true, by the way, but have you ever like talked about something like with a group of friends and then you look down at your phone and you get an ad for whatever you were talking about? Like you just see like on Twitter, if you're like scrolling, you see an ad for whatever you were talking about. Has that ever happened to you?
No, not yet. Okay. Sounds like
that's happened to me several times.
I'm sure there's others out there, but I think it's just like coincidence.
Sounds like honestly. An experience out of the Twilight Zone.
Like, I think it's just an effect of like you saw this ad and then it like somehow you forgot about it. And then it's like in your brain because that's what ads do. They leave an imprint.
And right.
Like you just think about it later and you bring it up. And then you see the ad again and you're like, oh shit, my phone's listening to me.
Right.
But I don't think that's necessarily the case. Maybe it is. I don't know. But it's just something fun to think about.
Yeah, certainly.
But yeah, I mean, like all these like things that we use, Discord, Spotify, YouTube, they're all trading our information, selling it by giving us, you know, free content. Well, not necessarily free, but, you know, giving us entertainment nonetheless.
Definitely.
But yeah, I mean, I think it's okay. Like, it's not like I have a problem with all this stuff. I love using all these services. And if I have to give up my name and, you know, where I live and my IP address, whatever it is that they're using to, you know, track me, whatever it is, I don't necessarily, I mean, not my IP address, but, you know, well, I guess Google has it. But yeah, I mean, there's always going to be people that are like, you know, cautious of privacy, but overall, I don't think it's a huge problem. Just depends whose hands it's in.
I would say that is indeed the case. But Rives, again, man, thank you for writing all that. Really appreciate it. And I am fine with it, I guess. Because it's already happening. There's not much I can do about it now. But yeah. I don't like being bombarded with ads for weeks on end after I look at something specific, but it is what it is, I guess.
So what kind of ads do you typically get?
It typically has to do with like for example, sunglasses or some other product. I've looked at like camera accessories and stuff.
Yeah.
So
like on Twitch, I just get a bunch of game advertisements.
Yeah.
But I think that's just because I watch or consume a lot of games. So it just makes sense.
Right. Well, on that note, Jacob, there are no more community questions as far as I'm aware. Let me check email real quick.
Well, this is good because I need to go.
Oh, do you?
I need to get ready.
You have to leave at 10.
Well, yeah, leave. Like, walk out of the house.
Okay. Oh, we have one. We have one. From Jay Knopfsinger. Oh, wait. Okay, never mind. It's not a community question. I'll respond to this later. I apologize. All right, Jacob. That being said, to those of you who are going to bail, if you haven't already seen Game of Thrones, thank you so much for tuning in. We love you to bits. We'll see you next week. Again, we apologize for the delay. Look forward to us being back on track in less than 2 weeks now. And can't thank you enough for the continued love and support. We'd love to hear from you in the comments below. Please say hello, or at least say hello on Discord. And remember all these community questions and the news we've discussed. It's not just for us to discuss, it's for all of us. And that's why we love the community, because we get to hear from all of you. So please say hi, comment on any thoughts you have on what we've talked about today. That'd be awesome. That being said, if you're sticking around, Jacob, let's talk about the grand finale, series finale of Game of Thrones. How'd you feel?
Overall, I thought it was a fine conclusion to the series. A lot of us, like, one thing I did predict, I guess we are doing spoilers, right? Like, yes, I kind of figured that Bran was going to be king, just because the reason that he was is that he was like the safest option. But a part of me thought that maybe Jon was going to be a king too, but I'm kind of happy what happened to Jon. I think, like, obviously, like, a lot of questions were answered, a lot weren't. A lot of people have a problem with the ending. A lot of people just have a problem with the season in general. It was too short. Yada, yada, yada. They rushed stuff. I think the last episode was fine. Just, like, I came away like it was a combination of like a little bit of emptiness for me and also like satisfied. It's weird. Like, I felt both ways. And I think just feeling emptiness was from like the whole season itself. Like, it just felt like things should have. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm a writer, and I'm not going to say that I know what's best for the show, but I don't know. I might have done some things differently, which is okay to say. I'm allowed to have that opinion. But yeah, just overall, I think the last episode was fine. Like, it's not like I'm mad at the show because John's not king or something, you know? How do you feel, dude?
I thought it was also a fine conclusion considering the circumstances. Like I said previous week, I don't love how the story's been rushed. I think if they had, at the very least, 10 episodes for this final season to tell the story, would have helped a bit, a little more wiggle room to explore certain characters but and their conclusions. But had they had maybe two more seasons, they could have told the exact same story, and I think it could have been more effective had they drawn it out a bit more. And I don't mean like pointless exposition and crap you don't need, just fluff. I mean like really tell the story and just have characters interact more, improve the dialogue, clean up the coffee cups and plastic water bottles on set.
I can't believe there was another one.
I know. Just, I mean, I think even that goes to show how ready they were to be done. Again, what we got, I can live with, but it was not quite as satisfying as I think it could have been had they really dedicated themselves to seeing this through to the end effectively. But I also kind of like, well, I guess I can talk about it from the top. Coolest shot by far of the episode is when Daenerys is walking out from landing with Drogon and it spreads its wings behind her.
Yeah.
Looks awesome. Beautiful shot. So she gets to be the full on, fully embraced Mad Queen for about 5 minutes before Jon stabs her.
Yeah. she's gone, by the way. She had to be put out.
Yeah, definitely. Which was to be expected.
She's talking about liberating the world, like becoming what she was, you know, trying to stop.
Yeah. But I was hoping for a little more of an epic death with her. I think my hope was that she would command Drogon to kill Jon Snow, and he survives the blaze because he's a Targaryen.
Yeah.
And commands Drogon to turn on her and eat her, because that'd be far more poetic and brutal.
But then that would mean Drogon was like with Jon now.
Right.
And would that really work? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. But
because at that point he would have to be king, you know?
Yeah. But I thought that scene was okay. It was kind of cool. I thought it was funny how Drogon melted the throne. He was like, F all of this.
Yeah, he's like, fuck.
Melted the throne, flew off of Daenerys. I think people are assuming he took her to her homeland.
Yeah. Do you think he didn't kill Jon because he respects him?
That, and he's a Targaryen, I think. Yeah. That's another reason. But
maybe he can't. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. But that was fine. I think Tyrion's monologue about who should be king was kind of cool.
Yeah, I loved that part where they were all just like gathered around speaking.
Yeah, that was a pretty good scene.
It reminded me of like old Thrones, like of, you know, moments where we've been in that same place where different things have happened.
It's funny how I'm satisfied with Jon's ending, because although he was built up to be this paramount character, just with his history being revealed and who he really was, just seemed like he was meant to be like the pinnacle of it all at the end.
Yeah.
But I almost feel like it's more in line with his character and his journey for him, instead of taking the throne as this Targaryen, this big deal. I think it's kind of cool.
Which is who he's never been, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. Even though that was his true identity, that never who he was when he was growing up. He was his own man and not who everyone said he was supposed to be. Though. Right.
Like, but imagine if he had grown up that way, it would have been completely different.
Yeah, and definitely. That's the case for anyone in life, which is kind of cool to think about. But I like how he just winds up back in the wild with the wildlings. I think that's so cool. Because he's like obviously a really big deal, but I think that's cool that he just goes his own way at the end into the wild.
He's back with his pup. That was awesome.
And he got to pet him, which is nice. Yeah. Which is funny. I bet the writers had to hold off for like weeks, just in annoyance, knowing that Jon was eventually going to pet Ghost, but they couldn't say anything.
Yeah. And everyone was complaining about it from an early episode.
That's funny. So I like Jon's ending. I think it's pretty cool. Arya is going to explore. I saw the joke on Twitter, the Restoros.
Yeah.
Of Westeros.
Definitely going to be a spinoff. It has to be.
Yeah, I would assume so. I got to say, though, it's like, as much as I love the characters, like, what would be the goal now aside from, like, you know, Game of Thrones was all about, like, who's going to wind up on the throne? Everyone's fighting for the throne and power. Like, what would be interesting about Arya is just exploring the world, being an assassin, I guess.
I don't know. That's really the thing. They can do anything they want now.
Yeah, I guess. So multiple spinoffs in development from what I've read. But Arya going off doing her own thing. I think it is pretty cool how the Starks all disperse. I think it's cool how Winterfell became its own standalone kingdom.
Yeah. the queen of the north.
Yeah, queen of the north. I think that makes total sense for Sansa. That's cool. Yeah.
She's a queen.
Bran being king is fine, I guess. And three-eyed raven. I thought it was so bizarre how embracive he was of accepting that position.
Yeah. When, yeah.
Like, will you wear the crown? He's like, why do you think I came all this way?
Yeah, it's like, what?
That was a surprising answer.
I mean, he does make the most sense, though. I think he would make the best king.
Right. He's very wise. He has the three-eyed raven ability. So,
yeah,
absolutely. So that makes sense. I'm cool with that. I like how Tyrion's his hand. Like, I like how Brienne's stuck around. She's a knight with Podrick. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see a spinoff series with them, honestly. She and Podrick.
Sure. Yeah.
That'd be cool. I like a lot of my favorite characters survived. I like how Ser Davos also survived. Where'd he end up? He stayed on like the council too, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah. It's
not Ser like Davos, how, but whatever his name is.
What's his face? Tyrion. I like how he's the hand still.
Oh, me too.
That's his perfect role.
Definitely. I
always
agree.
Always has been.
Yeah, I think it's cool how all the Starks all go on their respective journeys, all wind up together at the end, and then go their own ways at the end. They all spread out across the kingdoms, which is cool. Yeah.
Some forced, some not.
Exactly. I do think it's dumb how the Unsullied get their own island and they're like, well, Jon Snow still has to go his own way and can't have a wife or children and has to go live at the wall, which I feel like everyone in that circle was like, dude, we don't have a problem with Jon. He literally saved all of us. You can F off. Yeah. It's like, as far as everyone agreed to that, it's just stupid, but whatever.
He's just blinded by his love for his queen, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. But what else are we missing? I think the memes that have come out of the finale are exceptional. They're so good. I thought the scene, even though it is like one of the biggest memes from that episode, I thought one of the more heartfelt scenes of the episode is when Brienne finishes Jaime's chapter in the book.
100%. Yeah.
I like that a lot.
That was really touching.
What's something we're leaving out? Have we touched on everything?
We've had to have missed something, Garrett. It was a long episode.
Pinnacle moment. I think we've touched all the main beats. They definitely made it seem like Arya was going to do something epic in this episode based on the conclusion of the bells.
Yeah, I would have guessed she would have.
She did literally nothing the entire episode.
Yeah.
She looked at Daenerys and that was about it.
That's true.
So I don't know what the point of all that was. But
I love Tyrion's moment when he like threw down his hand, little medal in front of Daenerys.
Yeah, bold move.
That was a good moment. And I thought he was done. Like, this is it. he's fucked. But
right,
he made it out. Only because he got Jon to do his dirty work. Well, not dirty work, I guess, but you know, convinced Jon to do the right thing.
Yeah.
Even if it meant, you know, giving up the kingship, which he didn't want anyway. But I wonder if he would want that instead of like what he got in the end. It's hard to say.
Yeah, I don't know. But cool character, though. I still liked his journey.
Oh, yeah.
And I was thinking about the series in its entirety. I think the last two seasons were pretty lackluster for me, especially looking back onto the previous season. But I think the journey of getting to where we got was what it was all about in the end. Because even if they'd drawn out the story, I mean, you could still find reasons to complain about it. But
sure.
I can live with it. Did not adore it, but I can live with it. And I love the journey. Game of Thrones was excellent television for 8 years. And I'm glad we were a part of that cultural phenomenon for the entirety of its run.
Might never be anything like it again.
No, at least on that scale, at least not for a while. I have high hopes for Watchmen. Not that that's going to be on the scale of Game of Thrones, but Breaking Bad was certainly more of a satisfying conclusion for me, for example. And even the journey was awesome. So
yeah,
definitely had some issues with Thrones in the tail end of its run, but overall really, really enjoyed it. Glad I was a part of that journey with everyone
it's
else.
Definitely been a special series. I saw someone tweet about this yesterday, but I don't think there will ever be a show like this again because of how segregated everyone is now. Like, everyone's on all these different streaming services. No one's just watching TV anymore like they kind of were when Thrones started on HBO back in the day.
Honestly, I have high hopes for Disney Plus and what they could do with their Marvel shows and more specifically Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Disney. I'd love to see the Mandalorian become something really special.
And then, like, hey, Disney's hired on a bunch of the Two Thrones writers, right, to do Star Wars. So, they must think the same.
Yeah, may the Force be with them.
But who have we not talked about? We pretty much touched everybody, right?
I think so. I don't think we're leaving anyone out. Everyone else is dead.
Definitely leave your thoughts in the comments. Is this going to be on YouTube, Garrett?
I'm not going to promise that, but I'm going to try.
Okay. Well,
maybe.
Leave thoughts in Discord, on YouTube, if it's on YouTube. And of course, you can always tweet us, send us a message, anything.
Absolutely. Love hearing from you guys. And thank you again to all of you who wrote in community questions and sticking around for the Game of Thrones spoiler cast. And we love you as always. Cannot wait to see what's revealed at E3. Hopefully a lot of cool stuff.
I'm not sure how our coverage is going to work this year.
I know. Yeah, because I'm going to be gone. Preston's very busy.
So
maybe flying solo, Jacob. IMG coverage. I mean, on Discord, we can all chat, obviously, but like official YouTube coverage will probably not exist. We'll still talk about E3 beforehand, during, on Discord, and post E3, of course. But week before E3, we'll do like a big final predictions like we typically do and talk about our hype and everything. So that'll be fun.
Yeah.
But Jacob, thank you so much for taking time out of your morning to join me bright and early. It was a pleasure as always. I look forward to next time, and I hope you have a wonderful day, rest of your week. And that goes out to all of you. Again, thank you so much for the continued support in spite of our busy schedules. And we'll talk to you again very soon.
Yep. Everyone have a good week. Bye.